This is Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Persimmons are ripening across the region now. It's a sure sign of December. And with most of the leaves off the trees, you can see the fruit hanging like beautiful bright orange ornaments. Persimmons are rich in vitamins. You have to eat them, though, and use them at just the right ripening stage. And this is something we had to learn in our family with two big trees on the property. So let's go back to a conversation I had in 2012. With Jean Brine. Jean wrote a cookbook featuring more than 1,000 persimmon recipes. It's titled Perfectly Persimmon, and she explained two different kinds that grow here.
One of them is the hachia, which you brought from your two trees, and the hachia persimmon must be very ripe, very soft, before you can use it or eat it or bake or anything with it, because it is an astringent fruit. And you will never forget it if you eat it when it isn't ready.
That's true. If you don't know what astringent means, just try biting into one that's not
Your
ripe.
Mouth will never be the same again.
Yeah.
And the second type that we have in this part of the country is the Fuyu persimmon. And there are many, many hundreds and hundreds of varieties of Fuyu. Fuyu is just a generic name like Kleenex. And the Fuyu looks like a tomato. Some are small, depending on the tree, and some are larger. And some people like to eat them when they're ripe with the skin, and some people peel the skin off. And you eat it just like you do an apple. And you can also let the Fuyu get ripe and osterize it and puree it and freeze it. So you can have them all year long. And if you put them in 1 cup or 2 cup measurements, because all of the recipes seem to call for that type of measurement. And so you may as well be ready. So when you freeze them, keep them in those quantities.
The persimmon is such an unusual fruit, isn't it? It's beautiful, but I'm amazed by how many people, including our own producer, who hadn't really understood or known what a persimmon was.
And because they're so expensive when you buy them in the store, not too many people will buy them at the store. They will get an abundance of them on their own trees or neighbors' trees, and they are given to them by people because a good tree will have 50 to 100 pounds of persimmons. Well, that's a lot of persimmons, and what do I do with all of them?
Uh-huh.
So I will either give them away or wait until they're ripe, freeze them, and I can have them all year round if I have them in the freezer at these different 1 cup or 2 cup measurements.
Yeah, I was so excited about your cookbook because we, as you mentioned, we have these trees and then there's all this fruit, and it's foreign to me, having grown up in the Midwest and the East. I wasn't around them before. But how did you ever decide that this was going to be your life mission, Jean? You've spent
half
your
life. Well, I never planned it that way. But when we moved here from North Dakota, we didn't have persimmon trees there. And so I've never seen one, never heard of them. And so when we were my parents had 3-room and board houses for girls on Capitol Avenue. And in the backyard were these huge trees, and it was the time of the year when persimmons were going to become available. And I thought, what is that beautiful fruit? Because I like fruit anyway. And so I asked friends, what is it and what do you do with it? Well, they explained to me and they said, if you don't want them, we'd be happy to take them from you. And so then I started looking into recipes. Very, very few cookbooks carry persimmon recipes.
Right.
And so I started gathering them about 45 years ago. Every time I'd see anything that said persimmon, a recipe or information about them, I kept a copy. And then when we got computers, I put it into the computer and had it readily available. And so then I thought, this is really an interesting fruit. I would like to know more about it. And so I gathered recipes. And I thought, well, now I've got to do something with these recipes. So I thought I will put it together in a cookbook.
So this persimmon work has just been a hobby, hasn't it?
It's just been a hobby. And finally, after I retired, I thought, now is the time to really seriously see if I can put it together in all this information together into a cookbook. And that's what happened. So I finally did it.
I'm speaking with Jean Brine. She is the author of Perfectly Persimmon. And you've learned a lot of history. So the history of persimmons goes back to where, Jean?
It was first discovered in 1607 by Captain John Smith when he was there with the Indians. And so the Indians, when he saw the fruit, he thought, what is this and what do I do with it? So the Indians taught our ancestors how to use persimmons and what you can do with them, because you need to know the right way to use them or it just doesn't work.
In your book, there's everything from desserts, which you would expect, the cakes and cookies, to persimmons in vegetable dishes, often with sweet potatoes.
Even in meat dishes.
Meat dishes, often with pork and sausage.
Right.
But not
right.
only that. You have a persimmon beer in there,
right.
and then the wine. Have you
right.
tried both of those?
I haven't tried those, but the persimmon liqueurs I did. And I have a few favorite recipes that I have discovered through the years.
Oh, yeah?
Lemon glazed persimmon bars.
Sounds
and
great.
And a persimmon gumdrop fruitcake, which if people do not like fruitcake, I think they like this one. And there's a very simple way of using a hachia persimmon when it's totally ripe, is you can put it in a bowl and you can add any of your favorite liqueur to it. And if you wish to have ice cream and pour the liqueur over the ice cream, that's a very delicate, quick dessert that you can serve when you're having company.
There's an old folktale about a persimmon that I think I saw in your book. Is it from Missouri?
Right.
What's the story?
This folktale from Missouri, it's about the seed of the persimmon. And the seed contains a small white embryo. And when you break it in half, what they are saying is if it looks like a spoon, they will have a lot of snow that year. And if it looks like a fork, they'll have a moderate amount of snow. And if it looks like a knife, they'll have very little or no snow at all. So this is a folk tale, and I don't know if it's true. I haven't spoken to anyone that has actually tested that. But this is the folk tale that has been years.
But you've split the pit.
And
so does the white embryo actually resemble
the
utensil?
The white embryo is inside the seed.
And that is the story from Jean Brine. She's the author of The Perfectly Persimmon Cookbook. That was a conversation from 2012. It is that time of year, so if you find a very ripe persimmon, check the seed. Who knows? Maybe it'll be true. We have posted a link to finding the book. It's at capradio.org/insight. Enjoy your cooking and eating of persimmons. And that's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. Tomorrow at this time, you will hear NPR's special coverage of the House Judiciary Committee's public impeachment hearing. But even though you're hearing the coverage, we will be recording a new episode of Insight, and that will be available online by podcast and in our rebroadcast at 7 p.m. So again, that's Insight for today. Thanks for joining us.
From Sacramento State, this is Capital Public Radio, 90.9 KXJZ FM and HD Sacramento, 91.3 KUOP FM and HD Stockton Modesto, 90.5 KKTO Tahoe City Reno, and 88.1 KQNC Quincy, streaming at capradio.org. We get support from the Mattress Recycling Council's Bye Bye Mattress program. Since 2016, the council has worked with Cal Recycle and California lawmakers to help divert 160 million pounds of material from the state's landfills. ByeByeMattress.com. Insight with Beth Ruyak is available online at capradio.org and anywhere you get your podcasts. Support for the podcast comes from University of the Pacific McGeorge School of Law's Public Policy Programs.
The author Lily Hardy Hammond famously wrote, "You don't pay love back, you pay it forward." It's the driving philosophy of Giving Tuesday. It's also a founding principle of public radio. Hi, this is Tanya Mosley from NPR's Here and Now. Supporting public radio doesn't just mean supporting the news you depend on. It also means supporting the news this community depends on. So, pay it forward. Give to public radio now.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside on Cap Radio. I'm Chris Bruno, Director of Marketing, along with Sally Schilling, our podcast director, and we're here right now to ask for your support financially.
Did you notice anything missing from Insight just now? Shouting, bickering, hyperbole, fear-mongering? Turn to us for journalism that doesn't have that fluff. You know Beth is going to give you that news, that little holiday flavor, arm you with the information you need to know to make sure you don't get scammed this holiday. The goal is to arm you with the facts. If you're invested in the way Cap Radio approaches the news, donate now in support of that.
Yeah, and that investment goes a long way. You can do something extra with your donation at Cap Radio.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. You can opt to have a portion of your gift go to a local food bank.
Hmm.
We'll match your zip code with a food bank in your area, and so you can make a big difference for Cap Radio and your community today with a donation and an opt-in to your local food bank. We're proud to be able to offer this. It's very important to us on Giving Tuesday, a big day of giving for us. Imagine the impact that we can have together just for donating to Cap Radio right now.
I like that, a two-in-one, you know, like you want to give to the less fortunate, because you're able to. But also, you can keep giving Cap Radio to your whole community if you step up right now. You've been thinking about it, we know you have, and contribute online or by phone, whichever is easiest for you right now. It's time to make that donation. Call the number 1-800-800-5867, 1-800-800-5867, or you're at your computer right now, just hop on capradio.org.
Yeah, and it's also easy on your mobile phone. Easily go to capradio.org, make a simple donation. You can now take part in today's international campaign, Giving Tuesday. It's a global movement that inspires and empowers individuals to make a lasting impact in their communities through charitable donations. You can support Cap Radio and your community with a gift to us by donating today. It's easy to be a part of Giving Tuesday by calling 800-800-5867, 1-800-800-5867. You can go to capradio.org, or you can go to Facebook and donate now. It's so important for us to get these donations to help support our programming. Please do it now.
We are so appreciative of your contribution. Everything counts. So you're thinking, oh, I don't know, I would just be throwing $10 a month at the station. That makes a huge difference for us.
We're able to
produce original content that we know you're looking for. For example, our Tahoe Land podcast host, Ezra David Romero, our environmental reporter, is giving you the in-depth stories about what's changing in Tahoe because of climate change, because of tourism impacts, how snow is changing. We just got a bunch of snow. How is this place that we love to visit evolving? You can find it now on Apple Podcasts or capradio.org/podcast. That kind of information, that original storytelling, comes to you because of you. So think about how you can contribute right now.
Exactly. And whether or not it's original content like Tahoe Land, whether or not it's a daily talk show like Insight that we produce, or whether or not we're giving and airing the impeachment hearings from NPR, all of that programming is very, very important, and it's supported directly by you. We understand as a public service the importance of this, and that's why we're limiting our fund drive to make sure that the impeachment hearings are aired for our listeners, because we understand the importance to our community. This is part of our public service mission and something that we're doing for you. Right now is the time to donate. Please support us right now.
Right. What Chris is saying is we're going to take a break from asking for money and fundraising for our station tomorrow to give you that of the moment information. So donate today, because tomorrow we're not going to be asking you. We're just going to be giving you what you need to hear. Depend on us for that coverage with depth and intelligence. And don't forget that we're here because of you. Call 1-800-800-5867, 1-800-800-5867 or give online at capradio.org. We know you're on your computer right now, anyways, at work. Maybe you're even on Facebook. We go to the Cap Radio page. You can contribute right there and see how much has already been donated. See that number go up because of you. Call 1-800-800-5867, 1-800-800-5867, or go online to capradio.org.
Yes, your donations are so important to us and ensuring that our programming stays alive, that we're able to produce original content, we're able to give you the NPR impeachment hearings that you have told us are important to you and we understand is part of our community service that we provide in air. You can donate right now. It's very easy. Just call 800-800-5867, 1-800-800-5867. If you're on a desktop, laptop, mobile device, anything that you're on, you can go to capradio.org. You can go to Facebook. It is so easy to give a little bit that goes a long way today.